Hello there, everybody. We are, praise God, and we are back tonight. This is a continuation of our Bible study, webinar Bible study, and we thank God so much for this day. I will ask my dear brother, Brother Rob, to open us in prayer. Brother Rob, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, pray for us.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day in remembrance of the sacrifice and resurrection that Jesus has made for us. Thank you so much, Father, for this Resurrection Sunday. Lord, we just give you thanks for our salvation and the forgiveness and the hope that we have in Christ. Lord, I pray for your blessing and guidance this evening. Let your word go forth, bind any distractions or interruptions that may occur, so that we all may focus on you and to receive the message that you have for us. Thank you, Father. And again, I just pray for your guidance this evening and to direct our paths. In your son's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rob. Thank you. Happy Easter or happy Resurrection Sunday. We are blessed to be back tonight. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. We will continue our study where we left out last week. We will start from there. But prior to that, I want to thank all of you that have come in, and we pray that the Lord will just bless us tonight and open up our understanding as we study together. I want us to read for our text, Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 20 to 24. And I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible. If you get it, all right. Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 20 to 24. So the man gave name to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This now bone of my bones, flesh and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." 24, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." Now, our study, we are talking about Christian marriage. What is a Christian marriage? And so the first thing we did, we began to look at scripture. And we said to you that Christian marriage started in the Garden of Eden. And so what we are doing tonight, in fact, today is a great day in the life of the Christian church. Today is Easter Sunday. Some people call it Resurrection Sunday. It's a wonderful day, the day that Christ, Friday, he laid down his own life. And then this morning, he rose from the dead. Now, Christ is with us. But here is the issue. Many churches, wherever you go, from the radio, they discuss, oh, the resurrection, that's a good idea. What we are trying to do tonight, we are proving, because there are many enemies out there who have said that the resurrection is not real. So if we cannot prove that, then of course, what we talk about the cross cannot be acceptable by many people. So in our lecture, in our teaching, we want to prove the first marriage in the Garden of Eden, that it was real. And because of its reality, we are tracing all the issues along history and biblically as well to present these facts. That the cross that Jesus Christ went on many years ago, of which we are celebrating every year, is true. It's the fact. Rob, you are giving me some background. Can you come in with that?
Yeah, absolutely. What a lot of folks may not realize is there is also a connection to Passover as well, which the Jewish people are celebrating at the same time. Passover is a celebration of God's deliverance of the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt. Before Pharaoh let them go, they put blood of a lamb upon their doorposts of their house. And this is recorded in Exodus chapter 12, verse 5 through 7. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Mm. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of their houses, wherein they shall eat it. So they went through this, and then death came that evening. And passed over the houses that had the blood of the unblemished lamb that was sacrificed. Now, there is a correlation to the sacrifice that Christ made. He also was sinless. He was an unblemished lamb who died for us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I find really interesting is the day before Christ's crucifixion, they ate the Last Supper, which was actually a Passover Seder.
Right.
That the Hebrew people have in remembrance of the Passover, of this event that happened when they were freed from bondage, that they still celebrate to this day. So at that Last Supper, what did Christ say? He said, as they were breaking bread and passing the wine.
Uh-huh.
This is blood of my blood, and what else? What else did he say?
Wow.
Do you remember his words?
Oh yeah, but go ahead, buddy. I'm listening to you. I'm excited about what you're saying. Give me the background. This is my flesh. This is my blood.
Yes. So Jesus instructed them to eat the bread and to drink the wine in remembrance of him.
Mm-hmm.
The bread symbolizing his broken body that was going to be broken the next day as he was sacrificed.
Right.
And the wine symbolizing his blood, which the blood is what protected them. It's the same thing that takes away our sins. Now, what's really interesting was as he was there on the cross, when the high priest goes in and sacrifices the lamb,
mm-hmm.
At the end of that point, he would say, you know, it is finished. And what did Christ say when he died?
It is finished. Yep.
Yes.
So just a wonderful foreshadowing of what was to come and what we have now. So I just love this time.
Yeah. Good. Thank you, Rob. Thank you for the background. But here is the problem. The problem here is there are the scientists, the evolutionists, atheists, and you can name them. They are saying what we are talking about is not real. It's not true. Now, if we cannot prove the fact that Adam and Eve existed in the Garden of Eden, then of course, what you're talking about, the cross, is nothing. If we cannot prove it, see, so then there will be many who will not accept what we have accepted, that Christ's death on the cross is for us. We have major groups that are saying what the Christians following is not true. So.
Mm-hmm.
What we are doing in our study tonight, Every minister of the gospel, whatever they preach, they are directing everyone to the cross. So our teaching tonight, to defend through the power of the Holy Spirit, to defend the reality of the existence of Adam and Eve and their marriage by God, is directing our listeners to the cross. Because if there is no, if there's no Adam and Eve, then you don't have the cross. That's a fact. If there's no Adam and Eve, there's no cross. So we believe, and that's what we've been studying in our special study, that Adam and Eve exist.
Right.
You know, and then we know there are many groups that have come up. Darwinism. They are saying, oh man, this is not real. This is nothing. Christians are just making their own stories. Here are the things that we began to talk about last week, and I want you to note it very carefully. We said that from AD 500 to AD 1500 plus, the church was in full control of the world view questions. Now, what is the world view question is so important? Why? Because worldview determined, listen carefully, the worldview determines what to think, how to think, how to act, and what to value. So, and these are the questions that the church was leading. And we said there are many, many things, questions that were being asked. What is real? What is the nature of the world? And all these things we studied last week. We went through all of these. What is the nature of what, when you say, when something is real, when you say man, what are the composition of a man? And all these things we look at. But here is the problems. The church began to encounter problems when they began to have problems within.
That was a great man.
We said when the Reformation came, the Reformation was a great cause. It was good for the church, but it created other problems. And we look at the other problems that the Reformation created. Now, instead of the people turning to the church for their worldview question answers, they are now turning to different, to the scientists, to the deists, and other people, because they got confused when the church leaders began to fight among themselves. Now, let me just, even in our time, even in your church, when you find out that the deacons' board and the council of the church and the pastoral board, when they begin to fight among themselves, what do you expect? All the members will find another church home. Most of them will find another church home. That's what happened. I just want to bring that comparison. Because the theologians went against theologians. And so it was a major fight. It was a major thing. These people who were crying to get their world view question answers, they could not go to the church anymore because the church was at war. The church was at war. So what happened? They left and they began to find other places where they can go and get their worldview questions answered. Now, the thing that developed, as we learned last week, then that was the theologian have failed. Now, in the early modern times, from 1500 to 1800, people began to be suspicious and said, we don't think this church thing can help us. We need to find answers. So scientists at that time, they were believers. Actually, most of the scientists in the 1300s, 1400s, they were believers. All right? And they felt that everything God did in this world was done orderly. But when men began to find more and more answers to their problems and the church could not help them anymore, what happened? There was an issue. the issue, they began to turn. And one of the key things that happened was when this guy, Isaac Newton, when he predicted the eclipse, and 70 years later, it happened. Everybody said, wow, these scientists are the best experts. The church can't help us. And so they began to develop new definition of science. They began to, all of those who were fighting for worldview, now they follow the science, follow scientists for their answer to their worldview. That's been the problem. Now, they came to another group that came up at that time from the 15 to the 1800 was deism. And we told you what? Deism believed, oh yes, God created everything. But look at, he gave it to us. God is out of it. He is unable to lead us. We need to lead ourselves. See that? And so, that was the problem. We will lead ourselves. And so, one of the tough guys that came at that time was Galileo. I think many of you know about this guy. But he was a believer at the time. So these things began to confuse the church. Other people were finding answers here and there. Deism, in fact, when you look at when you study the American government and you listen to their political speeches, you will see a lot of deistic thought in the way they speak. There will be nothing about God being mentioned. They will say, I will rebuild this country. I will do this. God will not be mentioned. Why? Because they believe that so much that only God created the world and left everything with man, and man will run their own affairs. That is deism. But that we know that was not correct. So these are the issues. We got to science, we define it, and what the modern science is all about. But what are we going to start tonight? Rob, we are talking about the natural scientists, and it became the new experts. And you said you had a thought on that. You know, so let me just say something. Due to the problem among theologians, the people began to look up to new experts for answers to the natural world. They built their knowledge around the scientific worldviews instead of the church theologian who were fighting each other during the Reformation. Rob, you said you had something, and Rob is on the phone.
Yes, I just wanted to point out that this is the problem when we have division amongst our leaders in our church. Oftentimes, division leads people away from the gospel.
Right.
We're supposed to be the light of the world, but the infighting turns people off. And the problem with division is it undermines the church, weakens the foundation, and we have to remember there's wolves among us.
Good.
You know, look at the state of the church today. I read an article the other day saying that church attendance is the lowest it's been since the 1950s.
Right.
Which the population at that time was significantly smaller than it is now.
Right.
But you go into a church today too, and you see. I've been in a couple, and what I experienced wasn't preaching, but rather it was more entertainment. It was all this music and media, but not much of a gospel message or anything else. It was very different from the core of what we were.
Right.
And my concern is that this is leading folks away and astray, and creates problems down the road, which is exactly what we saw here.
Right.
The other problem with this, as people accept these things, it begins to diminish God's omnipotence.
Right.
That's one of the problems with deism, though to some it may sound okay. Oh, yeah, God established everything, but then he stepped away. Well, no, he's actively involved in us, but if he established it and walked away, well, then, he's not that. It lessens his power and his influence.
That's true.
And then it ultimately chips away at the foundation of our faith.
That's good. Thank you, Rob. And this is Rob. Thank you. You got it. See, if science cannot prove a theory, science doing great job. Let me be frank. They are doing great job, great things happening. But the place that we cannot agree with them is to prove the origin of the universe. Then it places them in a different area. Because science, when you look at their mission, the only way that they can come out with an answer, it is something that they can touch, something that they would observe repeatedly. And then they will come with scientific conclusion. But to come out with the origin, which places them on faith, then it's not science anymore. Now, one of the key problems that I have, and many other scholars, is that even Darwin, he lived around 1800 at that time. How is he able to prove the origin of the world and all the species? You see, these are problems. Now, all of them are looking at faith. The best explanation about the world is the Bible. That's why, in fact, I was just I'm doing research and I came across the ruling from the court, from the Supreme Court, concerning taking prayer from the classroom and not in religions in school. But the court insisted that the Bible is important, but it must only be taught from a secular perspective. Without the Bible, we would not be able to know the origin of the world. Can you imagine that? It's online.
Wow.
Yeah, it's online. I go on my website because I have a lot of links there. Because what I'm teaching here, I want those who are really interested to follow up and read, because it's not something I'm making up. It's something that I've researched and I understand what I'm talking about. And so I put it up that you will also read it and know what I'm talking about. When you go on my website, you get to a section, you will find out that the Supreme Court decision and one other doctor, I just forgot him, but I got his links there. He said the Bible can be proven, because even the Supreme Court was against prayer in the classroom, but then the Supreme Court said, without the Bible, we cannot truly get the origin of the world. The Bible is important. The only thing is, it cannot be used as a religious from a religious perspective, but it can be used from secular perspective. This is the area where we don't support. All right, but they realize the importance of the Bible. So science cannot trace anything. See, now there are a lot of things that Charles Darwin. He was a naturalist. He was a naturalist. So how could he prove about something he have never seen, he have never touched? I know God is so good. The only thing that they don't want to accept is that the inspiration or the power of God, that God is using other men and showing them some great things in the world, they don't want to accept that. We want to say we are the one doing it. See, but some of these people, God gave them some great ideas so that they would be able to share with us some of the great things. Now that he right now in the church, even within the society, the church will have to pray. We have to pray, because the Bible. Merely no prayer in the church, in the school. Bible is not how they taught in many schools, even though the Supreme Court said they should teach it. Yeah, go on my website. That's one guy who's in the school system, and he wrote a great article. See, but this is what God is doing now. We need to know carefully that all that we see and all that it's the power of God. Darwin, he published another book, The Descent of Man. You know, and the whole thing is one question that I think they need to be. They talk about this species and this other species and that species. Okay. I hear what they're talking about, but who gave life? The question is, who gave life? And that question, they can't answer it. I have a man that wrote a book about 400 and some more pages. It's on my website. It's free. And the title is Refuting Darwinism. It's free. 400 and some more pages. Hey, get on my website. It's free. You just go to the link and download it, and you read it. God is moving, but man is doing what we want to do. So we have to be very careful. Some of these things we discussed a lot last week about these things. But this is where we want to go right now. See, let's look at the summary of Darwin's theory of evolution. Let's look at the summary. Pay keen attention. Variation. There is variation in every population. That's what they say. Now, competition. Organisms compete for limited resources. Note this carefully. Offspring. Organisms produce more offspring than can survive. That's what Darwin is saying. Genetics. And he went on to say this. But the point that I want to make here is that natural selection. Those organisms with the most beneficial traits are more likely to survive and produce. Now, I want you to look at this very carefully. These are the things that he outlined in his book. All right? And these are the things that are being taught today. These are major theories that many scholars are following, and even within Christianity, some Christians are following this kind of idea. All right. Hey, Rob, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. You said you had something to refute deism.
Well, again, the problem with deism is it weakens our foundation.
Okay.
Let me back up just one moment.
All right.
You know, science is a great tool that we can use.
Right.
But there's one fundamental problem with science and evolutionary cosmology, and that is it makes the assumption that everything today operates as it did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So they're extrapolating based on what we know now. And as things are now, but we know there's been drastic changes. There's been a flood. There's been other things that have significantly changed things.
Mm-hmm.
The other fundamental flaw is that science, the way it's structured, can only understand the natural laws, but not the spiritual laws.
Not the spiritual law.
Its foundation is faulty.
Right.
Yeah, its foundation is faulty because it assumes man is merely a physical being.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we know from Genesis? Man was made in the image of God. He has a spirit. You know, there's an inner being, there's an outer being, and a spiritual being component that are components of man. And science just looks at that outer being, doesn't take into consideration all the other components.
Right.
Now, you do have some aspects in the social and psychological sciences that look at some of the inner being, but again, there's still the spiritual being. You have to look at it. You have to look at it holistically and how it affects everything.
Right.
So if you start from that faulty premise, it's going to throw everything off.
Yeah.
And that is where my concern with theism is that it assumes that God has no interest in us, which then means there's no need for a savior or any of the other things that he's done. He just set it in motion and walked away.
Right.
That's a problem. You know, we know that man's fallen and something has to be done about that state.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Rob. This is just, when you say God created the whole world and left the whole thing to mankind, that is, in the first place, it's unrealistic. Because we see, even though within the Bible, there are many areas, and you will say, okay, well, that's in the Bible. So you want to argue, okay, that is in the Bible. But we see God moving in with the children of Israel, taking, setting them free from Egypt. God moving, crossing the Red Sea. I know other scholars or other opposing views. I say, oh no, that was really not a Red Sea. It was just a little place where they had some other things lined up, and it was a swampy area, and they called that. People have many ways to just make themselves feel good. All right, to think that the gospel is not real, but we see that God moves in a mysterious way. He took the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, brought them and crossed in the Red Sea. They were in the desert. Now, not carefully, given the Supreme Court saying that prayer should not be in the school, the Supreme Court also insisted that the Bible is important if you want to know the origin of this of the world, and there are some good things in there that needs to be learned, but it must not be taught based upon secular perspective. And this is where we don't agree. Okay. Now, Joshua, Moses brought the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. Joshua took over. There were a lot of things that God did, and many of you know. These are facts. See, the sun stood still, and the moon stopped. Joshua said, stand still until God, if you send me to fight, if you send me to take your children, to cross them, then I want the sun to stand still until I finish what I'm doing. And there have been other research and other things that have proven this, that what happened, it affected history. And all these writings are available. Now, if God is not involved into his world that he created, then how can he lead a particular group from one area to another, which we have the writings? See, God did that. God moves. Now, in the days of Hezekiah, God worked miracle with Hezekiah. We know that story. Hezekiah was sick, and God sent the prophet to Hezekiah and said, well, you pack everything, put your house in order, you are surely going to die. Hezekiah cried to God. He said, Lord, help me. And then when the prophet was leaving, God spoke to the prophet. He said, go back. Go and tell Hezekiah, I'm going to bless you. He said, how am I going to know? He said, the sun will go back 10 degrees. See that? The sun will go back. If God is not involved in his word, tell me, how come that this will happen biblically? The same come with so and so. All these kind of things that man doing, they are just, you know, trying to present a case that they cannot really prove their points. It's the presenting a thesis, informal writing, presenting a thesis, and you can't defend it. See, if you present a thesis, we want you to tell us how you walk through it, how you got the idea, and what are you convincing me about, and how can I agree with you? But if you cannot do that, then of course you fail in what you want to present to me. See, so God is so good. A man's steps are directed by the Lord. And we know, even though an atheist will say, well, you are a Christian, so you say your steps are directed by the Lord, but my step is directed by me. That's what an atheist will conclude. But that's not true. He is the one who gave breath to the people. Now, this is what is good. What they do not understand is, man, you said the word, you are in control. There's no God. Everything happened by accident. I can't do some science, and all of them don't agree on the same thing, though. There is a major debate in their camp. But it's by accident, and it just happened. But now, what is going on? What is the life that you breathe? Where does it come from? You need to answer that question. I mean, the breath you have, that makes it a human being, where does it come from? Is he a little box sitting somewhere? Is he a little box, you know, somewhere or what? Where does it come from? All right. Hey, Rob. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have something to add to this?
Again, I just want to reiterate, you know, the problem with deism is it weakens our foundation. We have to have a strong foundation, and part of that is our identity.
Right.
Which is composed of our worldview.
Right.
It's the core of us. And our identity, it should be in Christ. He's our foundation. He's our rock. Gives us a firm foundation. But today, you know, our identity and our worldview is challenged every day, seeking to alter our worldview or to append to it. You know, family, friends, other religions, community, politicians. I mean, everywhere you go, TV, the news, everything's just bombarding us with false views. We've got to be very careful of this. Some of it's presented as fact, but you dig into it and you see, I don't know, this is just speculation. It's just theory. And that's because, you know, as Romans 8:7 tells us, it's because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for is not subject to the law of God.
Right.
Neither indeed can it be. So again, it's important to be assured of your beliefs and know where you stand.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a weak foundation for a house leads to all kinds of structural issues, so too does a weak spiritual foundation. And my point is just look at what's happening to the church in America. Many theologians and leaders today are saying, you know, America's becoming a post-Christian nation.
Right.
And gone away from her spiritual foundation. So it's very disconcerting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. This is true.
And
I think you made a key point there. The key point you made there is that I love is Christians, we need to know where we stand. Because there's a lot of things going out over there that will confuse you. If you don't know where you stand, you will be taken by every wing of doctrine.
That's right.
See? In fact, there is a man in Miami. I'm not digressing from the main thought, but I just want to inject something in there. There's a man in Miami, he called himself Jesus Christ.
Is that right?
Yes. Check it out on the internet. He called himself Jesus Christ. He's got so many followers.
Wow.
Right here in Miami. Not anywhere, not in a different part of the world, but right here. In Florida, see, and he got followers. People selling their whole home, to sell your whole house, and follow him. Can you imagine the kind of evil spirit that is moving? That you will sell your whole house and take the whole money to him because he's Jesus Christ. And all these things happen when you do not know where you stand. You're looking for the answer. For the word, and somebody say, I got the answer, follow me. And since you don't have no ground, you will follow anything. You will follow anything. And I love the point you make, Rob. Deism is kind of it's a belief that we see today. This have affected even this great nation. Hey, go on my website. You will read more about it, and I can suggest some books to you, and you read more about it. It's not what I'm making up, all right? The thought, and when you look at the political speeches in this country, everyone is saying, okay, we can do it. We are able. We are in control, and everything is all right. That deism. God gave us this world. It's for us. God is not in it anymore, and we are in control. No. You are not in control. It is God that is in control of his word. All right, we can't finish this. I hope you learned something new tonight. But we want to give a few minutes. Probably you want to make a comment. You know, this is a Bible study. Even to Rob and myself. Okay, I see Dr. Waller, you raised your hand. Okay, do you have any questions?
The comment I want to make is that I just first of all want to say thank you to Dr. Arrow. Zagreb Liberty and Dr. Rob for the input. And my comment is that I just figured out from all what you said tonight, Doc, is that instead of folks worshiping the creator, they are worshiping the creature.
You got it. You nailed the whole point.
Right. And that is my point. And tonight I'm just excited. And I want to say the cross is free. The tomb is empty. And the throne is occupied.
All right. Thank you.
Look, we have a risen Savior.
Problem.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, buddy. All right. And anybody want to make a comment?
Right. Right. The last thing I was saying, that I said that the cross is free, the tomb is empty, and the throne is occupied.
You got
and
it,
I
buddy.
I want to be grateful to God. I say happy Easter to you, sir.
I agree with you.
Thank you.
Maybe the atheist would say, no, you're making up things. Maybe the scientists would say no. Maybe the evolutionists would say no. But hey, I say yes, I'm with you.
Yes.
So what we need to do is to prove. Okay, any more questions or any comment? All right, we can't, because of time, we can't go forward. But hey, invite somebody next week. We're going to be here sharp 8 o'clock next week, and we will continue our lesson. Now, what we're doing here is we are proving that Genesis chapter 3, the existence of Adam and Eve. And what are we doing? We are bringing all of these various groups that are against the existence of Adam and Eve. And they are saying to us, this is a myth. It's not real. Mm-hmm. But if this is a myth, then the issue of marriage is useless. This is why we're discussing it. Well, you may say, well, Brother Liberty, you are discussing marriage, and then you're bringing out the existence of Adam and Eve and discussing signs and all these things. But here's my reason. If I cannot prove to you that science is wrong, that DS is wrong, that in fact I'm going to bring in New Age group, New Age, that New Age is wrong, and that one is wrong, then how can you believe what I'm saying to you? You gotta believe that DSM is wrong, and then you believe the biblical facts. So we gotta bring to you the reason why the people are doing what they do. You need to understand the reason why the church fell. Satan came back into our garden today. At the time of Martin Luther, Satan came back to the church, and the church fell. So the worldview question now, people got confused, and they are asking questions all over the world. This is the problem we face today, and I want you to know this fight. Okay. All right. Now, we will stop here tonight. If there's no more questions, then I'm going to ask... Okay, I'm seeing that wallet is gone, and then Rob, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I think we need to stop here tonight, and Rob, you still there?
Yes.
I'm talking about brother wanting to pray for, but it looked like he mistakenly, let me see. Let me see while I'm right here, unmute. Well, I'm trying to unmute you, and can you unmute yourself, Walla? No, I can't. Okay, Rob, pray for us because I can't get to him.
Okay.
Yeah, pray for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our gracious and heavenly Father, thank you again for this time to study your word. to learn about what is happening in society around us, but also how we've gotten here through what's happened through history to influence everything. And Lord, I just pray that you continue to guide us and keep us rooted and grounded in your word, establishing a firm foundation on the rock of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your son and the sacrifice that he made for us, and the forgiveness of our sins that we have, and the assurance of our future resurrection and fellowship with you, Father. Thank you so much again for this time. Lord, and I just ask that you be with everyone, continue to work in all of our hearts to move, let your spirit move and teach us. And Lord, I just pray for us the rest of this week to grant us strength and to be a light into the world as we go back into our lives and to carry things out. Thank you again for this time. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Amen.
Here. And next week, invite somebody. We are going to continue our lecture. Thank you so much.